the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul is fulfilling his promise to return to Ephesus. Paul has just left his friends Aquila and Priscilla after visiting Jerusalem, Antioch, and the churches of Asia Minor, which he had planted on his former journeys. And because of the preaching of John the Baptist about Jesus, Ephesus now has a number of new disciples. And having learned that the Apostle Paul was coming, they just had to be there. Certainly Paul could add to their knowledge. The Bible says that there were 12 new believers. They were church folk that had come to see and hear Paul. And during that visit, Paul asks an intriguing question, maybe even puzzling question. And that's what you find in Acts chapter 19. And starting at verses 1 and 2, I'd like to read that for you. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, listen to this, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And so they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. What a passage. What a passage. I don't know why Paul asked that. Maybe he saw something in these new disciples. Maybe they lacked a certain presence of joy and peace. I don't know. But he asked the question, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? But their answer is more confusing than the question, because the answer, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. How could they be believers? And so, with that in mind, I thought, just by chance, in case there might be someone here today who might say the same thing, if Paul was to come here today to Fallbrook and ask the question again, in wonder, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? There might be someone here today that might say, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. I want to make sure that after today, that if you're here, that when that question is asked, you'll be able to say, yes, I have heard of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I believe that there should not be in any of our churches the impression that Seventh-day Adventist Christians do not believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen? That should not be in our churches. And I thought with this series, since these are the last days, and if these are the last days, and I believe they are, and we have been consistent, I appreciate that about Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we have consistently preached about last-day events. And since these are the last days, and when you read the scriptures, you'll find out that all through the Bible, we're following the tradition of the Bible. Everyone felt that they were in the last days. And since we preach this, I thought, now, wouldn't it just stands to reason that if these are the last days that we preach, shouldn't we hear the most important messages that we can hear? Amen? Why fool around? What is it we really need to hear? And you know what came to my mind? The Holy Spirit. Forgive me, I know it's going to be elementary. You're going to say it's a Bible study. Where did he get this from? I know all about that. But just in case, there might be one. I wanted to make sure there's no question ever again that we believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And no question about it being the last days. I think if you follow the past few years, 9/11, certainly makes you think about the last days. The recent tsunami and the change of power, the world spectacle that happened in the Roman Catholic Church and the recent earthquakes in California. I don't know about you, but I have been buying bottles of water. And I've been gathering up flashlight batteries and foodstuffs and keeping just a little cash around the house. You know when the big one comes, you know the ATM machine's not going to work, right? Didn't you know that? So I'm getting ready for the big one. But when I thought about that, shouldn't I be getting ready for the real big one? I'm talking about when Jesus comes back. Shouldn't that be the most important thing? Amen. Thank you, Joe. Absolutely. When Jesus comes, that's going to be the real big one. And I thought, what a message do we need? What message do we need to hear that's relevant to us since we are in the last days? And I thought about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And so I asked what you may not ask, but I asked myself, who is the Holy Spirit? It's obvious that the disciples in Paul's day must have heard about the Holy Spirit, but they didn't quite grasp what was going on. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 9, and you don't need to turn there, I'll just refer to these texts, that the Holy Spirit is God. Amen? Is that all right? The Holy Spirit is God. Remember, we had the baptism last week. Beautiful baptism. Guess what we said? We used Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20. Baptizing them in the name, N-A-M-E, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the Son, and the love of God, that's the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. That's what the Bible says. That we call the Godhead. The Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Someone says that the Godhead is not 1 plus 1 equals 3, but 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. And I like that. That's a good way to put it. You see, in Christianity, we are monotheistic, not polytheistic. Did you know that? We believe in one God. Amen? I want you to make no mistake about that. We acknowledge that there are three persons in the Godhead, but they have one essence, the essence of God. God is one. In the early church, they tried to explain the Trinity with a belief called modalism. It said that God appeared at different times in different modes. He was the Father one time, a Son another time, and the Holy Spirit another time. You know, there are some individuals who still believe that today, that somehow He divided Himself up. So that the problem with that is that would make that Jesus would be talking to Himself. Believe it or not, and when you read the Greek construction in Matthew 28, the Greek construction refers to three separate persons. Someone says that the Godhead is like a chain with three links, two outer links, the Father and the Son, and then the center link that binds them all together is the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God and has all the prerogatives of God. And so the Holy Spirit is eternal. What did I say, everybody? The Holy Spirit is eternal. There never was a time when the Holy Spirit was not. Hebrews 9 and verse 14 says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, the Holy Spirit is eternal. Not only is the Holy Spirit eternal, but the Holy Spirit is all powerful. What is the Holy Spirit, everybody? What's the first one? And all powerful. Remember Luke 1 and 35, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, talking about Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit is eternal and all-powerful. And the Holy Spirit is also everywhere present, or we call that omnipresent. I didn't use that big word, but in other words, all everywhere present. Number one, the Holy Spirit is what, everybody? What's the second one? All powerful, and this one is everywhere present. Psalm 139 and verse 7, where can I go from thy spirit, or where can I flee from thy presence? You cannot. The Holy Spirit is everywhere present. Not only is he eternal, all powerful, and everywhere present, omnipresent, but he is all knowing, all-knowing, omniscient. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. So the Holy Spirit is what? First, eternal. Second, all-powerful. Third, everywhere present. And fourth, all-knowing. You know what kind of gets us tripped up? We remember from our old King James Bibles, and we see the word ghost, Holy Ghost, and we get confused. And we think of God, the Holy Spirit, as it rather than he. The Holy Spirit is he. Some of us who were in prayer meeting, we saw a tape with Doug Batchelor. He talks about when he went to preach in Waco, guess who was there? David Koresh and his bunch. And they were outside of the church passing out literature saying that the Holy Spirit was she. And don't ask me how some of us ended up following him. I want to make sure that we know what the Bible has to say. Very sincere Seventh-day Adventists followed David Koresh. He was a nutcase. Sincere people followed him. The Holy Spirit is he. Why is it relevant? These are the last days. We preach that. So why did I choose, or the first subject, to take the Holy Spirit? Well, why this is relevant to us, and I know that it's relevant for those of you who are going out this summer to do missionary work. You know you can't even get a prayer through without the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Did you get that? What does the Holy Spirit do? Helps us to pray. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I have to admit, I'm embarrassed to tell you, but you know what I've done most of my ministry when I pray? I tell you everything, but I would tell you this. I tell you everything else. I do not think about the Holy Spirit when I pray. I think about Jesus. I think about God the Father. But I don't think about the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because I think that what we do as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, well-meaning, we associate the Holy Spirit with folk jumping up and down. And that scares us. That's right. You don't have to say amen, but I know it's true. That's what we think about. When we think about the Holy Spirit, we do not think about that the Holy Spirit is God.
And so when we pray, we don't pray in the Spirit.
Come on now. Some of you think, he's bordering on new light. No, I'm not. I'm not. I read this. This is not mine. It says, God wants us to pray our prayers, not to say our prayers. You know that young boy in Utah? That family that was praying, they were praying. They weren't saying no prayers. They were praying prayers. They were praying in the Spirit. You didn't have to tell them to pray. They didn't have to practice ahead of time. They was, you know what praying in the Spirit is? Praying from your soul, from your gut. I'm talking about, in fact, the Bible goes on to say that what the Holy Spirit does, when we pray from our spirit, from our gut, the Holy Spirit takes our prayer and takes it up to heaven, the Bible says, with groanings which cannot be uttered, and translates that into a language that we cannot even imagine and gets it to the Father. And when the Father hears it, He hears it like we didn't pray it. Isn't that something? That's what the Holy Spirit does. Find that in Romans 8:26. We need to pray the correct way of praying is by the Spirit through the Son to the Father. And I think we forget that. And that's maybe why our prayers are so ineffective. We have reserved praying in the Spirit for Pentecostals. Help us, Jesus. We have. And we've missed it. We miss a blessing when we think that way. Pray in the Spirit. It's all right. I give you permission to pray in the Spirit. It's okay. Helps us to pray. Not only that, the Holy Spirit, and you don't want to miss this. All of us are familiar with the passage in John 14 calling the Holy Spirit helper. The Holy Spirit in the original language means alongside, call alongside. You see, the Holy Spirit comes beside you and I. I'd like to read this, it's not mine. The Holy Spirit is the side of God that personally turns toward us and who would like to be alive in us. See, the Holy Spirit not only helps us to pray, but the Holy Spirit comes beside you and I. And if, listen to this, if you're ever in a tough scrape, I want you to call on God, the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because He's right beside you. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever gotten a problem and said, this is impossible? When God is standing right beside you, He's come along beside you. So is there a problem too hard for God? I think we just don't think about it. God, the Holy Spirit, helps us to pray and comes along beside us. Listen to this passage from Isaiah. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Houghtons, when you're out there in Thailand and you're going to run into something that you can't figure out, just say, God, lift up a standard against the enemy. You don't have to worry. The Holy Spirit has come beside you. In fact, when you give your heart to Jesus, guess what you get? the Holy Spirit. That's right. When you give your heart to Jesus, not only will come beside you, but the Holy Spirit will help us to pray and come beside us. But the Holy Spirit will give us spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. Romans 8 and verse 6 says, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. How do you think there's power to keep the law? Think we're good enough, smart enough? No. You've tried it and you failed. It's the imparting power of the Holy Spirit that gives us righteousness to live out the law. Romans 8 and verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Since these are the last days, I can't think of a people that need the Holy Spirit any more than we do. One of the great preachers, Charles Spurgeon, had this to say as I read it about the Holy Spirit. Common, too common is the sin of forgetting the Holy Spirit. This is folly and ingratitude. The Holy Spirit, He is good. All His works are good in the most eminent degree. He suggests good thoughts, prompts good actions, reveals good truth, applies good promises, assists in good attainments, and leads to good results. Amen. There is no spiritual good in all the world of which He is not the author and sustainer. Those who yield to His influence become good, and they who obey His impulses do good. They who live under His power receive good. Let us revere His person and adore Him as God over all. Blessed forever, let us own His power and our need of Him by waiting upon Him in our holy enterprises. Let us hourly seek His aid and never grieve Him. And let us speak to His praise whenever occasion occurs. The church will never prosper until more reverently it believes in the Holy, He says, Ghost. I'll use Holy Spirit. What do our church need in the last days? We need God, the Holy Spirit, like never before. Do you need God, the Holy Spirit, to come beside you? I don't know about you, but I do. Like never before. Let's pray now from now on. I don't want you to ever pray again without first thinking about God, the Holy Spirit. Amen? How can you leave out part of the Godhead? Because we have relegated the Holy Spirit to other churches. And so when we go to other churches and we see something happening that we can't explain, we think it's evil. When in fact, it might be something that we need to use. God, the Holy Spirit. Oh, I know that. I know that shook some folk up. Not everything is evil because we can't explain it. What we need to do is avail ourselves of the power from heaven. God, the Holy Spirit. I told in the first service, I tell it again to end the service. Charles Finney was a lawyer, great preacher. Had a religious experience out in the woods behind his house where he gave his heart to Jesus. But that wasn't it. He went to his law office, and when he got to the law office, something happened there. He said the baptism of the Holy Spirit overcame him in his office there. Later on, the story goes on. After that experience, something really happened to him. He had, listen to this, he had so much of the presence of God One day he went into a New York factory where they were spinning cotton, making thread and so on. They had a whole big area, and it was ladies there doing the work. All he did, Charles Finney, was walk into the room. As he walked into the room, there was a couple of ladies there that were talking, and then they caught each other's eye. And as he walked toward them, one fell on the floor, started crying. The other one fell on the floor and started confessing her sins. And it said the whole factory felt the presence of God. So much happened in that place that the owner of the place had to shut down his work for that day. Charles Finney never opened his mouth. Lord, help us, Jesus. Now that's power. That's power of the Holy Ghost. In fact, the owner shut his place down and let Charles Finney have a revival in his factory. You know, we got a greater work to do than that. Since these are the last days and Jesus is soon to come, we don't need, Bible knowledge is not what we need. A couple of texts more is not what we need. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit living in us. That's what I need. Amen. How about you? Also, from now on, as I shoot a prayer up to heaven, you know what I'm going to think of first? God, the Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Live in me. Those of you who are going out, I want you to be praying in the Spirit. Is that all right? I guarantee you're going to run into something where you're going to need to pray in the Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit is right beside you. We're going to finish the message next week. I never finish one anyway. I'll finish this one next week. Next week, we're going to talk about the sealing. Amen? The Holy Spirit does a work for the last days that no one else is talking about. But Seventh-day Adventist Christians. And I want to share that with you next week and how the Holy Spirit works in that endeavor. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that guides us, that comes along beside us. Oh, Lord, give us a new appreciation for the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the lives of the members of the church and in the work of the church. Why? Because these are the last days when men and women are searching for answers. May it be. We are directed by heaven itself. And as we pray for one another and encourage one another, help us to know that we won't always have the right words to say. But thank you for the Holy Spirit that takes our humble prayer, takes our lips of clay, takes them, translates that language into heavenly language. Father hears and answers prayer through Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. Bless us as we continue to preach the message that Jesus is soon to come. To this end do we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to conclude our service today by singing